This is a HeadGum Original.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Wow. I'm scared. I'm excited. I'm apparently like traveling through time based on that introduction. I'm Mono Gapian. You're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast that's ever been available. It's still fresh. I still think it's fun to talk about this show, no matter what my monotone register tells you. I am excited today because I'm joined by one of my besties, a true doll, a true diva, a musical impresario. We all know her and love her. It's fucking Rachel Bloom.
I'm so glad to be back.
I miss
back,
you.
Back again, where I belong. I miss you too.
You've been conquering the world.
I was in New York, and then I don't know. And then I was behind on this season, and I'm still super behind on UK.
Yeah.
Versus the world. Fun fact: Tia Coffee came to my London shows last year.
I love that.
Right after she had filmed the show.
This?
She was very coy, but I was like, oh, did you just film something? She was like, maybe. I gotta watch the season. That's a bad British accent.
You'll have a fun time watching. It's a really fun season.
Great.
There's some lows. There's some highs and lows in the season, but overall, pretty fun.
Today I was in Sylmar, where Drag Race shoots, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Tell the stands that. Yeah, I know. They're always
Michelle Visage made the joke, you're the queen of Sylmar. Yeah. On the show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all know it's out there, and because they keep, for a while they kept changing locations because the fans kept finding them.
Oh, really?
It's wild. Anyways,
I didn't know that. Anyway, I was at like a children's birthday party at an animal preserve, and I don't know. I wanted to see drag queens there, and I didn't. I just
That's
saw a crazy
bummer.
Porcupine, which was like I don't know, was prickly on the outside and.
And for the
soft on the
for
inside.
The children's delight, I'm guessing.
Yeah, for the children's delight. Although for my 30th birthday party, I did have a lizard party at my house.
Ooh, wait, I didn't know. That's so fun. Wait, I've one time been around a lot of porcupines and hedgehogs for one of those like tiny food. Do you remember that part of the internet where they did tiny food videos where it's like a video of someone making tiny hot dogs for animals? It was a whole thing. It was very 2010. But The big headline is the hedgehogs are only allowed where we were filming. Hedgehogs could only be out in the sun for 20 minutes at a time because hawks can smell them and hawks will find them if they're out in the sun for too long. Isn't that weird?
Wow.
Isn't that the kind of factual coverage you tune into Drag Her for?
I was going to say, I feel like Plain Jane would love that fact.
Be
like,
she would. Yes. Sister.
A mandatory meeting is the hedgehog and I'm the hawk, ruining her life and her self-esteem.
Yeah, and I'm just spilling the tea.
I'm a hawk. My parents were mean. I'm a hawk.
It's part of my heritage. So let's get into this season. Mm. We're almost at the semifinales. A lot of wacky things. And by a lot, I mean almost nothing happened in this episode. But there's a lot to talk about. Let's go macro.
Yeah.
What are your vibes on this season, Rachel Bloom?
I I'm torn with Plain Jane because there's a part of me that feels like Plain Jane is a character or a person because they're people, but also characters. Mm-hmm. Reality TV is weird.
It is a
person from before Twitter who doesn't mm-hmm. care about being a villain, mm-hmm. but also like the mean thing for no reason. Like it's different than drag queens being shady with each other. The way that Plain Jane was so mean towards a mandatory meeting was
that sucked.
Really mean.
It was mean.
And not in a fun way. Like it wasn't fun, but I'm always very mean when it comes to just bullying for bully's sake, as opposed yes. to giving someone shit out of love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me and you both are a bit on the, I think we're kind. I'm sure someone could disprove me wrong.
The show would eat us alive.
Yeah. It could go one of two ways because we would either get a Safira edit. Okay. You can be kind if you're radically confident. The show, if you kind of take the a paternal, maternal figurehead, you can survive the show being kind. If you're just kind and you're like one of the kids, one of the gang, you get eaten alive, it seems. Like well, Q, frankly.
Yeah, or it's the third like Jinx where you just water off a duck's back and you persevere despite.
Yes, that's really interesting. You bring a good point because we all know underdogs can win the show. Mm-hmm. But the show is pretty arbitrary at deciding who's an underdog and who's a loser.
Well, you see them flipping mid-season. They're giving mm-hmm. Plain Jane the villain edit. And once they realize Plain Jane is really good, mm-hmm. they try to humanize her. And that's when they're like, when Plain Jane's like, oh, my parents are immigrants. And mm-hmm. and it was funny. I was telling my mother-in-law about this season of Drag Race. She doesn't watch it at all, but my mother-in-law, her parents are immigrants. All of Gregor's family are immigrants, mm-hmm. and, you know. And that's not, Plain Jane didn't necessarily blame her parents being immigrants, but was like, it's a certain culture that doesn't accept being gay, doesn't accept drag. And my mother-in-law was like, I'm just a little tired of people blaming their parents for everything. and like, I kind of agree with her in that people on the show have had so much hardship and yes. strife. And yes. I had a sixth grade teacher who said, well, that's a reason, not an excuse. And I think that's the Plain Jane of it all, which is, okay, mm-hmm. I get that you have difficulty with your parents. That's a reason, but it's not an excuse.
Yes. Accountability is a bitch, but it's an honest bitch. So you can say like, hey, this is the reason why I'm this way. But then after that, you also have to be accountable for your behavior. It's something I think we're all real people are struggling with. Accountability.
Oh, you can be totally. Like, yeah.
So that's the accountability part. Okay, you can behave that way, but people don't have to like you if you're going to behave that way. Like,
we all have trauma.
Yes.
If trauma were an excuse to say anything to anyone at any time, like, I'd love it.
Yeah. That would be God. Great. And in my younger days, which, you know, I guess I'm going to be generous. Maybe Plain is younger than us.
Is Plain younger? I guess she is. All right. Safira's like our age, right?
Safira's like our age. So she's like truly treated as if she's on a hospice bed. They're like, wow, like they treat her so old. But Plain's young. And maybe she will actually learn this lesson that, you know, you can have trauma and also like not let it be your personality.
Right. Well, I thought it was really interesting that in the podcast interviews, she didn't continue to milk that. She was like, no, I don't want to get into this stuff. I just kind of want to be, she's growing to do.
She has growing to do, but that also, well, I mean, we don't have to pull any punches because we can talk about that. That really made me laugh, Rachel, because based on that moment, the podcast moment, a podcast is a career making or breaking opportunity. Like, do you know, I think it was so funny. So Rachel, be careful what you say because this podcast will either make you or break you. I thought it was a little goofy that the final challenge was a podcast.
Well, it was the they've changed things up this season. There are a lot more design challenges. Was there any acting challenge other than the Rusical?
God, there must have been. We've had so many episodes.
Which I'm not like upset per se. It's just there were a lot of design challenges.
The SNL, the SNL parody that they do.
Oh, right. Of course.
Maybe something else.
That might have been the acting challenge.
All of it's acting.
Yeah, a lot of design.
There's a lot
I don't remember, and I can't tell that it's because I'm in the mode of I've been watching Drag Race while cleaning up, which they call which apparently executives call passive viewing, which I don't want to be part of that trend because it disincentivizes networks to buy original compelling content from people like you and me, because they're like, why would we buy anything that's compelling when everyone's just going to be watching while cleaning up their kids' playroom? That being said, did I watch the most recent episode, cleaning up my kids' playroom?
Yes.
Yep, sure did.
Look, so I'm looking at the episodes. You're right. Like, the SNL challenge was maybe the only acting challenge. They made dolls. They did a ball.
The dolls, yeah.
They did Snatch Game. They did another design challenge for the Wednesday thing. They learned the choreo.
Oh, right.
They designed a bathroom. That one was the one that was just dancing.
Oh, Inspiration or Anthem, that will be done.
Yes.
Right.
There was almost no acting. And I honestly think, I'm a conspiracy theorist here, I don't think they weren't a very comedy actor group of girls. I'm not saying they're unfunny or untalented, but that really wasn't their shtick. And
no, so you know what? Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe they pivoted.
I think they kind of pivoted. They were like, well, these girls sure can fucking turn look, so you're getting design challenges, baby.
I wonder if they do that. I bet they must do that mid-season, right?
I would love if they did that. Also, I mean, you probably know this now, but this is funny because about this time last year, we were going to the live finale. Oh, and yeah. I found out there's no live finale in this year. And I found out because I was desperate enough to reach out to people at World of Wonder saying,
you wanted to go again?
I did. Am I a masochist? Like, what?
No, I mean, as we discussed around this time last year, I was so hungry.
Yeah, it's starving.
Or the joke we had was like, you think your life is bad? I was at RuPaul's Drag Race finale. They gave us one cracker.
They did.
For 10 hours, we all survived off of one cracker.
We were sharing peanut M&Ms and one was enough because we wanted everyone to have one peanut M&M. It was harrowing.
Wait,
it
there's
really
no
was.
Live finale this year?
No live finale this year, baby.
Why?
I don't know. I think
money?
RuPaul is done. Like, not done, but like RuPaul is kind of really being selective about what events, how she's going to save her energy, I feel. I you know, sure. She's, you know, Michelle's about to take over as the Drag Race Down Under host. I don't know if you heard that piece of news.
Interesting.
And you
that
know,
makes
even in this
sense.
Even this episode, she's usually the pod host and she was like, Matt Rogers, you do it.
Well, I was interested about, well, first of all, so I've known Matt since college. I was at Matt's.
Yes.
Matt was on my college sketch comedy group, Hammer
Cats. Yes.
We were not on the same time. I was, however, at his audition and was like, you guys should cast him. And I was right.
He's so talented.
He's wonderful. I wondered, though, based on the structure of the episode, if originally Ronan Farrow was set to do the interviews and it was going to be like a hard-hitting journalistic thing. I'm thrilled it was Matt. And maybe I'm wrong, but just because you're being interviewed about memoir, I wonder.
Yeah. It was funny that they were like, hey, Matt, do all the hard work to interview these queens.
Oh, my God. Matt worked his fucking... Matt was fucking great. I mean...
Matt was absolutely great.
Yeah, Matt was...
He was funny and goofy.
So great.
And you could tell he was doing the work that the producers were goading him into doing, you know, which was asking these baity questions that he had to, but doing it in a charming way.
I wonder what he got.
I
should just text him, honestly, and ask him.
Please. It's so delightful.
Can I text him and ask him?
Sure. Sure. I don't want to bother the doll, but sure. In the meantime, we'll briefly talk about this mini challenge, which I actually thought was good. That was a good mini challenge. Like the lip syncing underwater thing. I was like,
oh, that was so fun.
It was just like playful
and goofy. I like the challenges this
fun.
Season. I think you're right. I think it's just not this group of queens. I think we got really spoiled maybe last season with the Sasha. Like,
I do too.
Especially like Sasha Colby and Anitra. I don't know. Like,
We were very spoiled last season.
There was a real, I feel like arc. And I feel like the season, the arc, the character arc we maybe have is like plain Jane humanized a little bit. I mean, Nymphia winning this was, that was a real arc.
That was a real arc. But, you know, and again, but I'll also argue that like the arcs feel funny this season. And is that just because I've watched 800 seasons of Drag Race, so none of the arcs feel organic? Or is it that the arcs this season were maybe a hair produced? You tell me.
I wonder if the I'm wondering about Plain Jane, if the producers said to Plain Jane at one point, but this could be wrong, because Plain Jane was so all in at being a villain.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly was like, yeah, no, my family, my parents. I wonder if the producers took Plain aside at one point and was like, hey, listen, so right now, as it stands, there's no way you're going to win this show because you're being just a villain. If you want to actually have a chance at winning, you need to like open up a little.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that was said at some point, because I feel like the show flipped from the villain edit.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, that's a possibility. I also think it's fun that we have a villain story going into the finale. We have a lot of villains in the finale, but not often a villain who could actually win. Like,
part
of me thinks she could actually win, and partially because it's just such a gag. Because to me, a more interesting story of after someone like Sasha Colby wins, which to me is just like that, the G-O-D-D-E-S-S.
I still have that stuck in my head. And it's
I know. It's been a year and I still go.
That might be the best song to ever come out of Drag Race.
Yeah.
I mean, other than, of course, Hey Sis.
Don't say Christmas. It. No, I knew it. No, Rachel, stop it.
Everyone listening should know that whenever I hear that song playing, whenever Mono or I hear that song playing in the wild, we immediately send each other a video.
And it never not makes me laugh because an Emmy winning songwriter standing by the song. It's funny to me.
That song should have won. Has Drag Race ever been? I don't think Drag Race has ever been nominated for
in
a song.
Music? In
it.
No, no. Are you shocked?
I don't know. I think some of the stuff Leland is doing is pretty.
Oh, Leland is actually fantastic. There was a lot of good songs in The Sound of Ruzic, that musical. There were some like Eurovision. There was one song in particular. I was like, oh, this is like, this song's ready for Eurovision. Like,
yes. Also thinking about UK, I guess they have the BAFTAs. Bing Bang Bong?
I think that might have won some shit. Okay. Bing Bang Bong was a cultural phenom. I gotta own that. So, okay, talk to me a little bit about Nymphia's underdog edit. Is it fun for you or frustrating for you? How are you feeling about this?
Well, at first, what I thought was interesting was what everyone thought was happening, which is the faking, I'm so stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, amazed we haven't heard Rue use the term inner saboteur with Nymphia. Because that is the definition of, although Nymphia hasn't really been saboteuring. Nymphia has been just hard on herself, but still doing very well.
You could argue the banana, the yellow reliance might be sabotage or just stubborn. I don't know.
I wish I knew more about what the banana thing is.
Yeah.
Like I want to hear that origin story.
Based on her Instagram, I do think it's a reclaiming story, you know, because
okay.
It's a reclaiming story, obviously, based on like her, not obviously, but like, because I've done some digging on Instagram, you know, she's very in touch with her cultural identity. And obviously in this episode, we get to hear more about the racism she is, you know, how do I say, fought against her whole life.
Totally.
So I think it is partially that storyline of being like, how can I embrace being a quote unquote person who is sometimes referred to as yellow?
But yes, which I get.
But I want to hear that more literally.
But it's very
literally.
Specifically bananas.
It and is there bananas. Are other,
if your thing is yellow, there are lemons. There's squash.
Lemon parties.
There's
lemon party. Hey.
Oh, wait. Is lemon party the gif of all the old men fucking?
It sure is, Rachel.
You know what someone told me is that apparently all four of those guys are dead now.
That's so
it's really sad.
Funny. And wait, I mean, okay, wait, was that person saying like, I have medically confirmed it or just statistically they have to be gone?
No, wait.
how do we know?
Oh, I mean, oh, I bet you. No.
Is it just statistics? It's like they have to.
No.
It would be 110.
It's probably dead. It's that. Oh, there's a comedic news thing that actually my friends write on. Feel old
That's
yet?
Funny.
All the guys from Lemon Party are dead now.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Okay, well, actually, this is a perfect time. We're going to take a moment of silence for our lost friends from lemonparty.org. So, silence, Rach. I feel like praying. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, do you hear that? Do you hear that hot breath coming off of my chest? Because I got a lot of things to say. I swallow some things, and no, stop it. That's not funny, okay? Save it for the main stage of Drag Race. I swallow a lot of things like stress and like when people are being rude to me and when like I can just like navigate. That's kind of one of my issues as a person. Like I navigate issues by just swallowing it all, taking it in, and being the quote-unquote bigger person. Guess what? Getting things bottled up is not good for you. It affects you negatively because, mama, the body keeps the score. Ting, ting, okay? Your body is that NFL scoreboard, honey. And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. So why not work through whatever's weighing you down with the help of BetterHelp? I benefited so much from therapy, and I cannot express enough how important it is to have a regular practice of sharing your feelings. BetterHelp makes it so much easier, you know, because they have a broad range of therapists all over the world. You can conveniently connect with them on chat, on video, on text. I think you should really think about giving BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Honey, don't swallow that. Stop it. Don't you dare swallow that. You need to get that off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. Ooh, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain, because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. My break. Hi, we're back. We're talking about this finale. And the challenge is, this is perfect because my God, Rachel Bloom has written a book, which is one of my favorite books I've ever fucking written.
Don't tell anyone you're my ghostwriter.
It's one of my favorite books I've ever read because it's joyful and dumb and deep.
Mono, that is so extremely kind of you. Thank you.
I remember, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I was gushing at you.
I know, you're just...
It also came out in the tail end of the pandemic, so it was a really, really bright, shiny spot of life that I know I needed.
And I guess now I should admit that I did cough in all of the books. I may have caused the Omicron variant.
You did.
Yeah, that was me.
You... visible COVID-19 came off the pages. But no, but you've read, so the challenge is write a book, but also do a photo challenge and also do a podcast. Thoughts?
Well, okay, so I think it was interesting because I wonder, again, I want to hear from Matt, what were they, here, wait, let me just add, hold on, you can cut this out, but
no, go for it. Go for it. Ask away as you do. I'm vamping. As RuPaul said, I will be here for the photo shoot. I liked that RuPaul had a lot to say about the art direction of the photo shoot. Again, I have to admit, I was once again like, oh yeah, RuPaul knows. This gags me, and I bet it'll gag you too. People who understand that they should move their body in a certain way to look a certain way in a picture.
Yes.
What's that life? What is that life like?
Oh, well, I'll tell you something amazing.
Yeah.
I just, like, okay, I don't know if I can say, I mean, it's not that big of a, but I just did a thing that you'll be able to see with a bunch of drag queens
awesome.
On camera.
Awesome,
it's not
awesome,
another
awesome.
Drag race.
Okay, awesome.
But one of the queens there was Jujubee.
Amazing.
And I got to sit next to Jujubee. And I watched Jujubee. First question she asked was like, which one's my camera?
Oh my God.
I watched her always, even in reacting, playing out to her camera.
Whoa.
And Jujubee did this really skillful thing where someone would walk in the room. Mm-hmm. Instead of turning away from camera like you would naturally would because that's the way the door was positioned, she would always turn towards camera. And I was like,
like a cheat out, like a fake cheat out. Just
like
sort of
a cheat out. Yes. And
just slightly
it
moving.
Is a thing of knowing your angles, knowing what the camera's going to capture.
Wow.
The command, just because I was sitting next to her, the command of her body and how she interacted with the camera was really cool.
That's what I love Jujubee so much. I'm so glad. I'm so happy to hear that. This is a skill I wish I had because I have the opposite wonderful thing where I look insane in some pictures and then in real life people are like, oh, wow, that's what you look like? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to pose.
I don't mono, but I got two things. First of all, as you know, I EP'd a pilot that you were in and you look wonderful on camera.
Thank you, my dear
friend.
And
you were great on camera and you played to the camera very well. It's a pilot called Mother Mary. And if anyone out there wants to see it, you can contact Brad Schwartz, who was the head of Pop TV, now the head of the CW. You could maybe start a letter writing campaign, get it on the air. Anyway.
That is so funny. Yeah, do it.
But also when you were on Crazy X,
and
you had that little bit of song, and I feel like this isn't about me. I feel like people on the internet were going crazy.
Yes, the bear community showed up for me. The bears, I love you.
You didn't close your trash cans properly, and they're like, I smell sandwiches.
To you, I give a tepid gothy Kendall rawr. So here we are, they're posing. Can you believe how immediately they're playing the I'm a goofy dum-dum music as Q is beginning the challenge. She's done nothing wrong. And they're already playing the I'm a clueless doof music.
I know.
They were really leading us.
Q's interesting because Q's gives me such a polished, gave me and continues to give me such a polished vibe.
Yes.
But the show wants me to think that Q is awkward in her body. And I'm like, yeah, I guess maybe.
I guess.
But I haven't seen that awkward in her body.
There were some times where I noticed it and sometimes where I didn't. But more than anything, I thought a couple things in this episode and I couldn't tell if it was the edit. One thing I thought in this episode, and I tell me if you agree or disagree, I was like, is Q's brand strong enough? Is something I wondered in this. It, like, because Q has almost done so many unique looks that it's almost hurt her on Drag Race. Cause she's done so many unique looks that instead of them saying, wow, your silhouette has been different every time, I almost feel like they've said, we don't necessarily know exactly what a Q look is.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about the name Q for a second? And I'm
I
sure
hate
this
it.
Has been on the internet.
It
sounds like QAnon.
I agree. Q is the mythical head of QAnon.
So wait.
Is she
is
Q?
Q? Because if that were the thing, I just, yeah, fuck it. I'm a drag queen. I named myself Q because fuck it. It was me. It was me the whole time. I'm Q.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Well, we never got an answer, which I was kind of shocked by, or the editors cut it out, because I kind of would have loved to have heard her say something like, I'm trying to take the piss out of right-wing idiots, or Q stands for queer, because this is less fun, but she's just like, I want to represent every homo, so I'm Q. I don't know.
Or she's a huge fan of the musical Avenue Q.
Thank you. Thank you. Or that.
In which case, puppets.
Is that musical dead now because the comedy, which was we once laughed at in it, is no longer allowed? What do you think?
I don't know.
Some of the comedy is like 30 Rock adjacent, right? Where it's like some of the things we used to laugh at now have a different tone when we laugh at them.
Oh, are you talking about Everyone's a Little Bit Racist?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder where the consensus is on Avenue Q. I mean, Everyone's a Little Bit Racist is... I know that musical back. The Jews have all the money and the whites have all the power.
I don't know why I'm asking you as if you're the RBG of musicals and you have the final say on what a musical can or cannot do.
I bet you no one is rushing to do Avenue Q right now.
Yes.
If I had to guess, we're just leaving Avenue Q alone for a moment.
I think you're right on the money with that. It's like, that was cute.
Let's pivot away from it and maybe come back in a couple years and reevaluate. That is what I have to guess.
I think you're right on the money. You're right on the money. So, okay, the photos happen. They're of no real consequence either way, but RuPaul gets one more chance to direct them. She actually does an amazing job.
She does a great job.
She really does. Just being like, be more fun. Do the open mouth tooth thing, which I still could not do if my life depended on it.
Yeah, she's like, lower your chin, but elongate your neck. She's just done a million photos.
That's wild.
She knows her exact angles.
It's amazing to watch someone who knows do it.
I'm trying to do that, actually.
I don't even know how to do that either. Wait, how do I
lower your chin?
Elongate your neck. It kind of works, doesn't it?
It's a good stretch.
It is a good stretch. So we have Matt Rogers interviewing, doing a lovely job. He gets Plain Jane, takes the bait. She's a little cunty. Safira's just gets the winning edit. Yeah. Q is actually... pours her heart out, but it doesn't matter because they want her gone anyways.
The lack of them seemingly giving a shit.
Yes. Yes.
The mutinous stare that Q came on the episode where she just admits she's HIV positive, which is a powerful.
Oh my God. Powerful.
Revealing thing to admit. And she then doesn't win. And they don't care.
No, yeah.
But it's not enough to make you win is...
Wait, is this season the COVID trauma season? Like, are we all so disaffected and like detached? Because this is also the kudos for saying that, for spilling season. That is become one of the most notable... That is the pop culture moment.
It's funny that that jumped out, right?
I think it's because we're so numb from the pain we've lived that after someone says, I'm living with HIV, a human says, kudos for saying that, for spilling.
But is that like why it's gone viral? Just because that is a kind of crazy thing to say after someone has admitted something so deep? Or it's just gone viral just because it's a thing?
Both, all of the above.
Kudos for saying that, mama, for spilling. The fact that that's in reaction to someone not saying, I just like feel like I just feel like you're a little mean sometimes. Like, no, I'm living with HIV.
Yeah.
Kudos, mama.
Kudos for saying that, for spilling. There's something to it I can't put my finger on because there's something to it. There's something there. But in the meantime, Nymphia is really coming out of her shell and sharing some really beautiful things about, you know, living in a world with European beauty standards and how that affected her growing up. But it's thrilling. As someone who's been dying for Nymphia to believe in herself, it's pretty exciting to see her want to win a challenge.
She's such a, in my head, the second she walked in, I was like, she's such a, seems like someone who could win this.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting for her to be insecure because she just seems like such a winner to me.
I know. I wonder if she'll go like a Katya, look back on the season and be like, oh, I really could have won this season if I wanted to, huh?
You know? Yeah.
Perhaps.
But I think all of the thing of, oh, I'm nervous, that wasn't a front.
It really seems in this episode, I'm getting a lot. Yeah, we're getting that sort of clarification that this is not a front. This is who she is. And it's valid. It's absolutely valid to be that way. I think just because this season was strange a couple times of who won and who didn't win and who didn't fall in the bottom. There was a couple times, I think, as a viewer, where I was like, well, I'm dying for her to then fight a little more for her spot or let her lip sync, because she never fell in the bottom and never got to lip sync. So I'll be curious to see what she lip syncs like in the finale. If she does. I don't know what the finale is. There's probably lip syncing, right? There's gotta be.
I'm interested that they didn't have a live finale, but I think you're right. Maybe it is RuPaul conserving. You know what it is too?
Mm-hmm.
RuPaul's promoting a book. Yeah. I bet you they're like, yeah, let's not do the live show. RuPaul's going to be promoting the book. Mm. Let's just keep it more low key. Because the finale is filmed now, basically, right?
Yeah. Or they did it all on set. I don't know if they did the whole damn thing on set. I couldn't tell you. I don't know the full tea on that. They could have all filmed it last year and just said, it's in the can. Let's go home. Because maybe RuPaul's going to the UK, going to somewhere else, filming all kinds of other seasons where she was like, I can't fly back to do the end of this. And speaking of, go to say what you want to say because I want to talk about the book.
No, it's interesting that RuPaul's not doing Down Under anymore just because RuPaul's husband is Australian.
Yeah.
That's a long flight.
It's a long fucking flight for a vacation, I'm sure. So wait, let's talk about the House of Hidden Meanings. Spoiler, me and Rachel both read the House of Hidden Meanings.
I read it in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quick. It was a quick.
But like, I also found it riveting. I thought it was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was, the prose was very poetic.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
I thought it was really fun. I actually think it is. There are moments of unbelievable vulnerability in the book. Things we haven't heard from RuPaul before. Some things we have. There's a lot of cars in it. Do you notice how many times cars are mentioned?
You know, what's interesting is I turned to Gregor at one point and I went, RuPaul loves cars. And he says, oh, is that why the show's called RuPaul's Drag Race? I was like, holy shit.
Straight talk.
And then I was expecting, I know, so straight. But I wonder.
Yeah, it's a perfect pun. And there are a lot of cars in RuPaul's life. Like
RuPaul loves cars. RuPaul's like, I've always loved cars. I love driving. What if RuPaul and Jay Leno are friends?
I'm sure they are. I kind of believe they could be.
That's kind of an Ellen DeGeneres, George W. Bush relationship, right?
Yes. Because
they're like best friends, right?
That's so funny. It is like, who are you allowed to be friends with when you're famous? It's, you know?
I think when you're super famous, you just, there's a part of you that only wants to be around other super famous people, and that's the commonality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just wonder, right? I wonder if RuPaul and Jay Leno are friends.
I do too. It's
me, Jay Leno. Me. It's my impression.
That wasn't Rach. That was a live recording. That was a recording we captured live in the studio. Wait, one of my favorite rant. This is, there's so many crazy things in the book, but the one I'm remembering right now is the crazy moment where RuPaul, like, airplanes used to work that you got on one airplane and then you knew where the air, like, you could get on an airplane going to Texas.
And get off. Yeah.
And get off or stay on the airplane because the next location was San Diego. And Rue talks about this old airplane thing that people just used to know, that you could get on this airplane and you could stay on if you wanted to.
The next stop. The terrorists of 9/11.
Yes.
Took that away from us.
They took that away from us. Thanks.
Air travel used to be a lot more like bus travel.
Yes, even more. Yes, just you can stay on if you want. Who's going to stop you?
I don't think enough people have condemned 9/11.
I don't. I know. I think
And so that's like the stand that I'm going to take on this podcast is like, I feel like when it happened, no one said much.
Yeah. Yeah. Politics.
It wasn't really like a big deal. Politics, and I just want to say in retrospect, that was fucked up.
I want to stop everything right here, right now to say my daring and bold opinions on World War II.
Oh,
here's what I'll say. Too big of a war.
Oh,
it was so big and too big. And I don't think it should have happened.
Okay. Here's my take on World War II.
Okay.
World War I is the original Relaska Talk season.
Ah!
Okay.
Okay.
World War II is Relaska Talks trying to make it happen again making it happen.
Oh,
but then,
oh my God.
Then Roxy Andrews gets to the finale.
Wait, should we do history lessons as drag race metaphors and make $1 million?
Would we make $1 million? Or would we make
like
$1 billion?
Maybe we would make it's one of these businesses where it would either make $1 billion or $6,000. Like, I can't tell.
I also think it's maybe us going to schools and being like, hey, hunties, today we're going to learn about the Austro-Hungarian War of 19.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about Kosovo, cunts.
Kosovo cunts is pretty fun.
Kosovo cunts. The territory war in Kosovo was not unlike Raja O'Hara trying to steal wigs that belonged to Ariel Versace, and we'll tell you why. What do you think? We might have a business here.
I could see it, honestly, being a book that does well.
Honestly,
if you could really map out here's what it's a book for. Mm-hmm. It's a book for if you're studying for one of the AP history tests.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm fucked. I haven't been listening all year. And it's like,
oh my God.
Okay, are you a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race? Then you're going to be set. Here's how to pass your AP US or AP European history test or AP government. You're going to remember it because of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Rach. Instead of Cliff's notes, it's Cunt's notes.
Oh!
It's right there. It's right there, Rach.
Fuck.
Fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Shit. Okay, we're going to go write down this absolutely multi-billion dollar business plan. So
please at least make a Photoshop thing that says Cunt's notes.
Can someone who's good at this do this for me? Yes, we will. I could probably
do
that.
That's fantastic.
Cunt's notes. Well... silence, Rachel. Oh. I feel like going to write down this business plan that'll make us a lot of money.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My break. We're back in the workroom. We're going to talk.
By the way, if you couldn't tell from us trying to come up with cunts notes from before the break, yes, there might be another Hollywood strike coming. So we are not in a good place.
We're not in a good place. We need to prepare, gird our loins. Truly, we might need to do this. Well, we're on the main stage. RuPaul looks gorgeous as always. And so Michelle and TS do too. I mean, just gorgeous.
Agreed. Just fantastic.
I don't know. I mean,
also, you don't see RuPaul's breastplate ever.
Yeah, that's a good.
So what is
Rue does a lot of old school. Like, she does an old school pumped up bra.
Right. I so think. It's just an old school, like, padding. But I feel like you'll see RuPaul's so skinny, but you'll see the kind of dimple of a breast against her chest in a way that I don't understand the mechanics, because her tits always look really full.
Well, maybe she just has like a good bra with very subtle chicken cutlets.
Right.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know if you know, I mean, you know this, but just as a reminder to anyone listening, one of my best drag bra just happens to be the former property of one Rachel Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
It's your pregnancy bra.
Oh my God. It's the is it a pregnancy bra or is it a breastfeeding bra?
Does a breastfeeding bra have like a hole in it?
Yes.
This one does not have a hole.
Okay. Oh no. So it's my pregnancy bra.
It's your pregnancy bra. And because it works because you had jumbos and
yes.
It's able to sustain my like silicone chicken cutlets. Unlike lesser bras I've had in the past.
That's unbelievable. I forgot that. And I'm just so, you hope that your old bras will go on to bigger and better things.
Yes.
And this is an example of that has absolutely happened. And I couldn't be happier for her.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, should we chirp and burp these runway looks, Rach?
Great.
Category is Fandango. And I'm very excited to see. First, we got Q giving tangerine umbrella on top of your cocktail. What'd you think?
Cool. I'll chirp it.
I think it's really pretty. Yeah. It's really gorgeous.
I say that as if I'm like, yeah, I could make this.
Yeah, I know, right?
But it's very cool.
It's really cool. I think the silhouette's so unique. Again, I pose the question to listeners. Have her unique silhouettes and unique looks almost hurt her? Because certainly in this episode, they've decided we don't know exactly who Q is.
I'm trying to think of who's had the most unique looks. I think about the Simone and Gottmik season, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Both of them had amazing looks, but I guess there was a certain aesthetic or point of view going mm-hmm. on in there.
Mm-hmm. I guess so, yeah.
Dawn earlier in the season had a lot of really cool different looks, but there was always even without the elf ears, there was an elfin quality.
Totally.
I guess.
I think you're right. Like Q's drag is sickening. She's obviously an incredible stylist, and beyond being a stylist, she can create clothing. But I guess the show is leading us down a path of do you care if we cut her or keep her? And the show said we don't.
I know.
At what point
can your brand just be good drag?
You know, that's a fantastic question, Rachel. Is that still allowed? Can you
or does
just
it have
be good
to be,
drag?
This is my shtick, this is my thing, this is my, I don't know.
I think in this day and age, you either need to have a point of view or be so charismatic, that's your point of view.
Yeah, your personality just really shines through, yeah.
And not to say Q wasn't, but there were times where Q was maybe like, not shy, but I wasn't 100% sure exactly what her point of view was amongst these really, really, really specific divas.
I mean, Safira, I think, is just so personality first. In addition to amazing, unbelievable looks, just Safira is just such a confident,
mm-hmm.
charismatic star.
Yes. I mean,
I love this look, though. I mean, I'm a big chirp for this
huge
book.
Chirp.
This
gorgeous.
Look. Jesus, I said book. Whatever. It's fine.
Her book too. I also, didn't you love when they were like, the chapters I read in your book, like, what do you mean? What are
so
you fucking talking about?
So that's why I'm wondering what outline they got. Did they have to make an outline of a book? Like,
right. Did they write down three sentences from each chapter? What did they write down?
Yeah. I want to see those.
I do too. I'm curious. Okay. Safira's gorgeous. I forgot we have to talk about Ronan Farrow. And
oh, sure.
His own reference to his own scandalous paternity moment.
I love how much Ronan Farrow is so fucking unprecious. I think Ronan Farrow tweeted a couple years ago, like, listen, all of us may or may not be Frank Sinatra's son.
Period.
It's so fucking great.
I also love that in this particular episode, he said, hi, gays. Like, Because he was just on All Stars 8 and he looked completely handsome. But on this episode, he said, I'm fucking gay and I would like all the homosexuals to slide into my DMs.
It's fucking wonderful. Is he single now?
I mean,
single vibes.
He's giving single and or open relationship vibes. You don't fucking wear a see-through lavender blazer when you're closed. Safira's a chirp. Gorgeous.
Oh, wait. Or did he get married? Oh, no. Yes. No, he and John Lovett have been broken up. So this makes sense.
I was hoping you were going to say add a Z at the end of that. Him and John Lovett.
No, he was with this guy, John Lovett, from a bunch of very cool things.
But then he said to the marriage, he said it stinks and got out of there. That joke was for two people, me and you. No one else. No one else, Rachel. No one will even know what the fuck we're talking. What the fuck I just said. What the fuck that was a reference to.
You just made me like RuPaul cackle with like a joke that no one else on the main stage understands.
Yes.
Fucking. Oh. Wow.
Fuck Nymphia. Nymphia giving Marie Antoinette.
Yes. Although, what did Michelle say? If no one else on this runway does it, Marie Antoinette look, I will be very happy.
Agree. So agree. She makes a great point. I did think it was gorgeous. I thought it was stunning. And it was cool to see little pieces like that. The signature wave in her hair, which was like, is sort of a hallmark of Asian art I've seen. There's some really amazing touches on this outfit, like the nails and stuff.
I just think Nymphia just gives off such winner energy and winner confidence. And I think we said that in the episode that it's just, you can tell her, oh my God. I mean, the pussy on fire is so funny.
So funny. This is such a chirp. I think last week I said she couldn't win. And this week I'm happy that I'm wrong. She could still fucking win this thing.
She could. They really, really are trying to earn the like, oh, this is the week she came into her own.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be Safira.
Yeah. I think that's
I'm pretty sure it is. It can't. Plain Jane to win after that podcast thing. You can't get be America's Next Drag Superstar and not be like vulnerable. That's not what Rue wants.
I think you're right. I also selfishly think she just would be too much fun on an All-Star season.
You're totally right.
You know, and again, I've said this in the past, I'll say it again. It would be really fun to see a more confident queen not eat her alive, but go toe to toe with her.
Yeah.
You know, this season it felt like no one was willing to really spar with her. So I would love to see a confident queen go, oh, you want to read? Let's fucking read.
I would love that.
You know?
That would be fucking great.
That'd be great. But her look, I have to say, this look beautiful. She gave is one of my favorite looks she's done yet on the runway ever. This golden.
She knows what she's doing. She's a great queen. That Burgerfinger song was great.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what did anyone do for Snatch Game this season? This was not a
trying to think.
Safira did James Brown, right?
Yes.
Very smart because it's like, yeah, RuPaul, I know that was your first concert. That was fucking smart.
It was very smart. And then Plain, did Plain won Snatch Game?
Oh, did a Eastern European pop star who was like, an ugly man.
Yes.
Did Plain Jane win the Snatch Game?
She sure did. No, Plain Jane won the Snatch Game, which was kind of a gag to me.
Yeah.
And again, this has been a big season of no improvisers who say no to each other has been another another weird thing. But this goddess look is awesome. It's gorgeous. This is the nude. It's like nude, but not washed out. It's really gorgeous and it's a chirp.
What would it take for, this is a joke for two people. What would it take for Drag Race to have on Will Hines as a judge for the improv challenge?
I would love that.
He just would be so like, yeah, no, I'm not buying any of this. He wouldn't be charmed by it. He'd be like, no, that scene didn't make any sense. We got to start it over. This is for.
I love this. Hey, Gagatrondra Jones. Yeah. Hi, Will. when you played the talking douchebag, I just thought you could come at it from an emotional place. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
If you're going to be a douchebag, be a douchebag. Okay, so you've been sucking up like dirty vagina water for how long? So you're tired, right? You're haggard. I want to see that come out. If anyone is interested in improv, Will Hines does have a very great improv Substack that you should all check out.
Will Hines is great. And I also love that Will Hines will end a note with, I don't know. I don't know. I could be wrong. So in a funny turn of events, Nivea gets her third win. What'd you think?
Yeah, she's great.
Sure.
I don't know. I
this whole season I've been like, sure.
Are we all jaded? Why are we both having the same
I feel the wins this season were a bit produced. We love the show. I love the team that makes this show. I just feel like sometimes they kind of turned the tide of who won and who didn't win in a way that as a viewer maybe felt different to how it was when they were in the room. But as a viewer, like I thought, you know, there were times where I was like, oh, I thought this was this person's and this was this person's win. So I think it took away some of the gratification of, yes, this person won, because it didn't always feel real. Or something.
Well, also in the like we're in the corporate challenge, even in the critiques, it was like, yeah, no one really 100% killed this challenge.
Yeah.
So for anyone to have a win, and I think that was the one where Q was
butt hurt.
Pretty gagged that she didn't win. But I'm like, well, I kind of get where Q's coming from, because even Safira didn't get like Safira stumbled a little bit. So
right.
Yeah, there's just kind of okay.
And in the makeover challenge, I thought Nymphia could have won the makeover challenge. So it almost felt like, well, Nymphia actually won the makeover challenge and Safira actually won this challenge, maybe?
So in the makeover challenge, can we all just agree that they're looking for the same outfit, right? They're just looking for the same color. The more similar the makeup is, the more similar the color and the outfit are, you're going to win, right?
Unless they're not.
I'm saying, yes, I agree with you. Like, that's the same outfit. So that's what you wanted.
It was the exact same outfit. It wasn't inverted. So even sometimes, you know, you can invert the colors and it's like, oh, okay, wow. But, and again, don't get me started. I also felt like her girl, though, was gorgeous, a gorgeous dancer. Like, you know, you could argue could have had more makeup on her damn face. But they didn't seem to care. It was confusing. Yeah. I think that's what's a little funny about this season. The wins haven't always felt like huzzas. They've just felt like, oh, sure, if you want, that person can win. Why not?
I was surprised someone won. I think that challenge especially, I was like, oh, there's no really clear-cut winner of this. It made me long for, what was the season? I mean, not that this has been that, but what was the season where no one won Snatch Game and Michelle was 14. Like, I am beginning a forensic investigation. That was great.
Oh, I actually think one person won. So in season 14, Deja Sky.
No, I think one person was safe.
Yes. Okay. Deja Sky was safe.
Yes.
And then everyone else
was.
That's hilarious. Yeah, that's hilarious.
I guess maybe I'm rooting for more drama. I think.
I'm with you. They could have done that. They could have been like, no one wins this week. Sorry. We just weren't impressed.
I guess, you know what? Maybe the emotional high point for me, maybe I'm comparing everything to the All Stars season, the UK versus the world season with Jimbo and Pangina.
Mm-hmm.
That two episode thing where Pangina goes and then
Jimbo?
No,
Jimbo
goes
then Pangina.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Jimbo
then
Pangina.
It was Jimbo then Pangina. I screamed so loud for both those episodes.
Yeah.
Gregor thought I fell in the tub. And I guess that's what I kind of want again. But it's going against the opposite of what I keep saying, which is like, I don't think people should be mean. But those were some really, really mean eliminations.
I think the show is excellent at surprising us. And something I'm learning all the time is the show likes to punish people for thinking they know what the show has in store for them. In fact, that was the whole narrative of this episode. The overall narrative of this episode was, fuck you for thinking you're a top four. We'll kill one of you right now. We don't care.
I know. That was really interesting. That suspense. I was sure they were going to make it a top four. That was really... What do you think went into the decision of, fuck it, no, Q's out? Because it would have been easy to make Q.
It would have been very easy. I think they wanted to punish the girl. They wanted to punish the girls. I don't know. This show is a little bit like a a Greek god Bacchanal. Like a, I don't know. It's not, there isn't always reason to the sacrifices, but sacrifices must be made, especially when you think you know what Mother Rue has in store for you. And I don't know, but
I like that it was top three. I think I get disappointed sometimes when it's like, yeah, it's top four, but
I have a sick confession, which is when Q was eliminated, it was the most gratifying moment of the of this episode for me. Now,
because it was something happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was gratifying to me. Like, and I wasn't the only one. I was at a gay bar with homos, and there was a lot of gratification. Not because she's not fantastic, but because we were a little bit surprised, this is even spicier. Q's privilege was checked for the final time. I think there's been a couple times this season where Q's like winner's privilege has been kind of this like ongoing story of I deserve to win, I should have won.
Sure.
So I think. Again, there was maybe
so funny
something.
As you said that you're scrolling through a part of Q saying I deserve to be in the finale. Q definitely has a thing of being upset that she didn't win and it being very dramatic and and this was not a great lip sync. Plain Jane did a better lip sync.
Plain Jane did a better lip sync. She had a little more fun. She had a little more passion. She had a little more just like bedroom eyes. And yeah, Q is just not like the world's best lip sync artist. Not bad, but it was just easy to keep my eyes on Plain Jane, I gotta say.
For Plain Jane to win, she'd have to like fall and break her ankle and then perform anyway or something.
You mean like in the finale?
Like in the finale, she falls, she breaks her ankle, blood is spurting out. We see bone shards.
But
she keeps dancing.
I want to believe you. But something in me says I'm not counting her out yet. I'm just not. I want to believe you. I think the show might want to shock us a little bit. Or
I just don't think she literally just said her podcast interview was like, I'm just going to be mean.
Yeah.
I think T.S. Madison said it. You were just shading the queens that have already left.
Mm-hmm. It's curious though, but don't you notice how hard RuPaul laughs around her? Like RuPaul really likes her.
But not as much as Safira.
No.
Safira makes RuPaul laugh in like a deep way.
Right. Safira's like, we're like old friends. And I agree. Yes. You get that energy from them. Will that hurt or help her? It could go any sort
of
way.
I think it'll help her. Look, if we've learned anything from Lawrence Chaney.
It's
that when someone really tickles Rue, especially with their story of hardship, which Lawrence Chaney had, it's hard to beat that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. I hope you're right. I think Sphere's a good winner. She's a fantastic winner. We'll see. I would love to see her on. Again, that's the other. I hate to think this way. All of us now, because we know there's so many all-stars, we're always thinking about the winner as someone we don't get to see again, which is so dumb. But it's a thing I think about now where I'm like, oh, if this person wins, I won't see them again. So,
yeah,
it's something I think about.
I really liked Dawn. Despite the fact Dawn hates musical theater, I found her refreshing hate. I found her hatred, her pure liquid hatred of musical theater kind of delightful.
It was novel. It was novel. Why the fuck not?
I fucking hate musical theater. And it's like, you know what? Every point she made about it, I was like, that's not untrue. It is really stupid. It does look dumb.
Do you want to watch the moment the light goes at like
out of Q's eyes?
Yes. It's like
show me.
When it stares into your eyes and you get the dead eyes. Look, she gets dead eyes here in like exactly 5 seconds. Oh. She's waiting for RuPaul to say, you're coming, don't worry. And brilliance and bravery with the world. She's like, she looks up.
Look,
dead eyes. She's like, fuck, I'm going home. Are you sure? Woo!
She's just devastated.
My heart breaks for her because she's very talented.
She'll be fine. I mean, that's the thing is anyone who makes top four.
Yeah.
You're still going to be fine.
You're going to be fine. So bad.
I think in the moment, because this whole season is filmed in what? 2 weeks or something. In the moment, it probably feels like the world's ending. But then when you realize, oh, I'm on a TV show and I was only on maybe, actually, no, I wasn't. You're not even on one episode less than everyone else. Like if you,
yeah,
if you get it in kind of the top ones, you have a lot of presence on TV, and every week you're on TV is more of a chance to get more Instagram followers, get more people knowing what you do. I mean, look at look at Nina West.
Yes. Yes.
Nina West was what? Top
five, six,
five, six,
five or like, six.
One of the most beloved. So, but I'm sure in the moment when you're eliminated,
it sucks.
Devastating.
It sucks, but yeah, she'll work forever. If not only on her own drag career, she makes some of the most gorgeous garments we've ever seen
fucking stunning designer.
And I'm sure people will be hiring her for decades to come. And I would not be surprised if we see some haute couture elevated shit from her, like on a true fashion runway in Paris or some shit.
No, she's the real deal.
Yeah, I love it. Rach, tell us where to find you, where to support you, where to see your show. Are we done? Is your show still going to go anywhere? Death, let me do my show.
Yeah. So I'm doing it at the Williamstown Theater Festival. And I was supposed to film it during my off-Broadway run, but my director got COVID. So this time we are filming it during the Williamstown Theater Festival, which will be going up July 4th. First.
Okay.
July 5th.
It's okay. The links will be below. The links where you can click and buy tickets. Keep going.
And then I'll probably do it in some other cities, and then it'll be hopefully streaming this year.
Oh my God. Wait, I can't wait. Will it be like premium, like premium video on demand? Will it be? Mm-hmm. We don't know. We'll see.
It has been set up with a place.
Oh my God. Stay tuned then. Stay tuned. Follow Rach. Obviously her socials will be in the pod as well if you aren't already following. But okay, stay tuned. That's very exciting, Rach.
Yeah.
Yay.
Mono, where can we see you?
Just follow me at Mono Agapian on Instagram. And follow Drag Her Podcast on Instagram. You can follow us there, see what we're up to. You can also go to the Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a 5-star review, write some words, and we'll say those words on the pod. Like this review I'm about to read right now. Oh, here we go. This one's saucy for you. From Mr. Pa. Good show. A friend of mine introduced me to Drag Her. So far, I've really loved the insight into the show. Ah, my only issue is that the guest sometimes has to rein in Mono. Recent episode with Oscar. As Mono was interrupting quite a bit, granted, while I can appreciate the issue surrounding a certain episode, a bit of restraint would have been welcome. Thank you. Thank you for keeping me honest.
Wait, what was the episode?
There was a recent episode you should not watch. You should not listen to because it involved the
UK
finale of that season, of the UK season.
Okay, this is why I got to watch UK, because something happened that people are upset about, and I'm glad I don't know.
Maybe, who knows? But they were very kind. Mr. Pa ended by saying, issue aside, look forward to next week's episode. Thank you for your review, Mr. Pa. I appreciate you. Well, that's all the time we have.
I gotta say, what? Either write a good review or don't. Is it a good review? Is it a good review? This is not like a teacher evaluation.
I do feel scolded.
Mr. Pie?
I do feel scolded.
Yeah. Mr. Pie. I think you need to be more honest with the people in your own life, because I think that you are maybe not taking it out. It was a very good review.
It's a really good review.
But I just wonder if you felt a freedom to be specific in an Apple review in a way that you maybe yearn that you could be specific in your life to people you to people you know.
Rue, this is your Rue moment.
I'm also really sensitive to criticism, especially when it's couched in compliments. So I'm a delicate little flower.
It was a knuckle sandwich. It was a genuine knuckle sandwich. It was
that you need to be reined in, that you're too much sometimes.
Sure.
But also, it's an episode with you and Oscar, and you both fucking hate each other.
Yeah, that's our thing.
It's your thing.
That's our thing. Well, and the way
let's
in.
All just let's all like never forget. Let's never forget what look Oscar liked.
Uh-huh. Candy Muse's alien.
Unitard alien look.
That's right.
I find that unforgivable.
Unforgivable. Shocking. One of the most shocking herstories moments in herstory in this podcast. But if you agree or disagree, go ahead and write another review on the podcast.
I'm
going
to get some
we'll
bad reviews
it.
From Mr. Pie being like, Rachel Bloom's a fucking bitch. She's not even queer. What is she doing on this podcast? Stop fucking cis het white lady splaining to me, you fucking tool. See, there you go. Now Mr. Pie can't do it because I just read myself.
And because reading is what? Fundamental.
Sad.
Well, till next time, also go read Rach's book and buy it everywhere you find books. I want to be where the normal people are.
Wow. Yeah.
Yay. Well, that's all the time we have. Till next time, my dears. Let the music play. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Matt Rogers just got back to me.
What? Oh, I'm still recording. Should we? What did he say?
Okay. I'm going to ask him if I can share this. But Matt said.
Okay.
They wrote two essays. They had.
Okay.
So they had Matt develop questions based on those essays and an info sheet about them.
Oh.
And it basically to him felt like it was like two contrasting essays.
Oh, like a fun essay and a serious essay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's really interesting. I love to see those essays get posted. I love reading a good essay.
I would love it too. That was good tea. Thank you, Rach.
Great. I'll confirm that I'm okay to share this.
Okay. And then we'll see if that's okay.
Yeah, and then
I'll
let you know.
Okay. Till next time, my dears. Let the music play.
Was a HeadGum original.